Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome everyone here and those who are joining us through our Zoomcast or who watch through our archived copy as we celebrate the Ascension of our Lord. It's one of those festivals of the church year that people go, the what? They know about Christmas, they know about Easter, you know, they didn't even know about Good Friday, but the Ascension? We know, that's why we came here tonight. And yet, we need to be refreshed on what great significant realities are based on this historical fact. Not just a one-night event or one-day event, but something with enduring implications for us. So, we rise to begin this festival to sing our hymn, Hail the Day That Sees Him Rise. Those who are watching at home and have the old hymnal, you'll find it is hymn 174. In the new hymnal, it's hymn 474. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness.
Let us confess our sins to the Lord. You're invited to be seated or kneel for confession. Holy
God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment, both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him,
our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He has sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as an atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. 2 in the old hymnal 171. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Pray. Lord Jesus, King of glory, on this day you ascended far above the heavens, and at God's right hand you rule the nations. Leave us not alone, we pray, but grant us the Spirit of truth, that at your command and by your power we may be your witnesses in all the world. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our first lesson, the account of the ascension of our Lord, Acts chapter 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men, dressed in white, stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who you have has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We have a new psalm this evening. You want to pay the refrain in the... Yes, the introduction is every time, but you want to play through the refrain and the psalm tone? And then we'll do it. Revelation chapter 19, we see the ascended Lord coming and taking his position in the whole world. The work he does that's listed here is the work he does as our ascended Savior. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider was called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads on the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Surely I am with you always.
Very end of the age.
Alleluia. Alleluia.
Alleluia. The Gospel, Luke 24. Luke's other account that includes the ascension, as well as events that happened leading up to it. He said to them, that is Jesus, said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what was written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stood continually at the temple praising God. I'm sorry, they stayed continually at the temple praising God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Our hymn of the day is the rest of our hymn of glory, Let Us Sing, verses 2 through 5. Again, in the old hymnal, that was 171.
Thank you.
grace, mercy, and peace flow out on us abundantly from the right hand of God through our ascended Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God we focus on really is all the lessons, but particularly Luke chapter 24, our gospel. Please be seated. My dear friends, living under the reign of Him whose ascension we celebrate. They had been married for 43 years. They had a special bond. They dearly loved each other. And yet a number of years later, she said, "I don't know how people get along through loss without Jesus." And no doubt you've heard something like that from another fellow believer, somebody who's gone through some traumatic experience or loss or become widowed or widowed. We know that's true, but why? Tragedy, trials, illness, loss, how can you deal with them without Jesus? When somebody says that to you, instead of just saying, "Yeah, I know," take the opportunity, if it works, to invitation and explore it. Why? What are we saying? How would we put that in words that someone says, "Tell me about it, I don't know what that means. I don't have what you have." You see, what that invites us to do is be specific about why it makes a difference. It's not just an emotional thing that we're dealing with. Why is Jesus so vital in dealing with loss, tragedy, trials, troubles, death? And if you do that and take the time to brainstorm back and forth with each other about what you find particularly beneficial about having Jesus through the whole thing, if you stop and look at the list you have, I think you're going to find that most, if not all of them, are completely dependent upon the good news of Jesus' ascension. If He had not ascended, the things that you list would not be true. It's no wonder that the apostles, when Jesus ascended, instead of crying over this loss and departure, went to the temple rejoicing and praising God. Now, we know what happened on His ascension. The historic facts of this event are very simple and straightforward. 40 days after Jesus' ascension, He met with a group of His disciples, we don't know how large, on the Mount of Olives, Bethany's just across the hill, and down below them would have stood the Brook Kidron and the Temple Mount. There in that place where God had put His name, Jesus was taken up and hidden from their eyes. The angels simply say, "The one who was taken up into heaven." Or as Luke's account says, "He parted from them and was taken up into heaven." Now, the Gospel of Mark actually gives us a little bit of an idea of the significance of this historic factual event. He said, "Then the Lord Jesus, after He was taken from them, was taken up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God." Now we know where He was headed. Now we know what He went to do. Jesus' ascension was His glorification of the triumphant Christ, the promised Messiah. But when we think about the right hand of God, we need to be very careful, and this is clear if you read the whole scriptures about what right hand signifies throughout the Bible, that was a position of power and authority, a special position right next to the Father in authority and importance. It is not a specific location where Jesus is somehow confined inside of a courtroom or inside of a throne room. What does that mean? We have our dearest friend, our Savior, our Lord, reigning and giving us the basis for all of our real hope. We know from, as Paul reminds us, that all things work to the good of those who love Him, those who are called according to His purpose, those who are His disciples. Paul says, we know that. Well, why do we know that? What makes that true? It's true because Jesus is in charge, because He's all-knowing, and deeply caring. We've spent the Lenten season preparing ourselves and seeing again on Good Friday how profound and deep his care for us is. He was willing to do that for me. And his ascension puts him in charge as reassuming his glorious position as the all-knowing God. No, when we say that we know all things work for the good of those, we always want to remind ourselves that the Scripture gets to define what good is, not we. It's not what we think would be good. And good basically comes down to, he's not going to let anything separate us from Jesus where all the good is, where his care and his love take care of us. And he does this from his glorified ruling position by putting boundaries around our enemies, telling them when to stop, when that's enough, or in sometimes crushing them, or in other cases, diverting them. From that position, he has full command over all of his angels. And not only that, but fellow believers, he can even send in unbelievers to be our helpers. And he even directs the role of nature to serve for our good. When Jesus' enemies, our enemies, have their evil designs and ready focused on us, he allows them to do so much so far, as we saw in Job. For what purpose? Good. Defined by drawing us closer to him, coming to know him more, trusting less on ourselves. And of course, from that glorious position, he's going to eventually, at the right day, at the right moment, in the right way, give us the ultimate delivery, where he personally sees to it that we are escorted into his presence and the place he has prepared for us. That's all included because he is the ascended Lord. All this is possible because he is, as we saw in our second lesson, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Or as Paul wrote in the letter to the Ephesians, the opening chapter, God has placed all things under his feet and made him the head over everything for the church. You see, Jesus is at the helm of the universe, controlling everything, not just the big stuff, even the minute stuff that we don't even see. And he does this with his goal and his objective in everything that he does is to serve for the care of his people, for each and every one of us as well as all of us. Because remember, whatever happens to one of our brothers and sisters in the church has a positive or negative effect on us. And so he needs to attend to every single one in order to care for the church as a whole. In Jesus' ascended position, he rules over everything, things, but he doesn't just do it off in a distant way. He rules present with every single believer all the time. We just spoke those words in the gospel acclamation. And surely, I will be with you always, even to the very end of the age. This is not a vague promise about him being with us in spirit or from afar. It's literally being with us. And therefore, that means that he's with us not just to protect us, but to bless us. We're never alone. He's always dwelling with us. That's such a comfort to remember when you find yourself alone and particularly feeling all alone. Break through the lie your brain is telling you and tell you, I'm not alone. Jesus is here with me, just as he promised. And maybe a whole bunch of angels along with him as well. So, think what that means. If you're a person who lives your life thinking that your future is in your hands and you are in charge, you can probably expect your life is going to be filled with a lot of fear and anxiety. I don't know how you could escape it. Sooner or later, you're going to see something that makes you fear and is filled with fear and anxiety, if not pretty much all the time. But if you put all these things together with Jesus in charge, the fear and anxiety go away, remembering what he's promised me. And he replaces it with hope that whatever I'm experiencing, I'll get through it. He will see to it. And the peace and the confidence that all is well. Another way to put this is to go back to one of the favorite pictures of all Christians, of the 23rd Psalm. Everything that's written in the 23rd Psalm would only be a pretty picture unless Jesus is ascended and reigning because of his ascension coronation, and he is residing with us as our shepherd king in charge of our life, blessing it, directing it, and leading it to his ultimate goal to be with him. In addition to that, with his ascension, because Jesus has ascended into heaven, not only is he always with us, he's always accessible to us. He always hears us. And think about it. Could you possibly have a better confidant than Jesus? We've already talked about his proven love for you. The things that you tell him, of course he already knows as the all-knowing God, but he invites you to tell it with him as to share the burden and to be confident that he'll listen and to remind yourself just how much of a friend he is. Greater love has no one than this, that you lay down your life for a friend. I am your friend. That's Jesus' promise to us. And he hears us, and we know, can have confidence that he will act because he promised to listen. And he'll act with his wisdom and his omniscience so that he'll answer our prayers better than what we asked. And when we go to him, we can be confident that he understands, because he's not just God. He's our full flesh and blood brother who can empathize with us in all of our weaknesses. We can, in fact, he wants us to cry on his shoulders. He welcomes our grief, our pain, our fears, our struggles. He's the best confidant we could ever have because he ascended on high. And in that ascension, not only does he hear our prayers, but the scripture tells us that he intercedes to the Father on our behalf. Now, it's tempting for me and maybe for you too to think that that means he hears my prayers and transfers them over to the Father, but that's not what it is. Jesus said we can go straight to the Father because of what he has done. When the Bible speaks about Jesus interceding for us, he's speaking up for us when we haven't spoken. He's speaking up to our Father, serving as our best defense attorney, constantly reminding the Father that my sins are paid for, forgiven. His blood continues to speak to the Father on our behalf. We are never alone, never walking alone, never carrying the burden alone, because we have an ascended friend, a super Lord, the Lord of heaven and earth. Furthermore, Jesus wants us to know that he is still with us and blessing us with his word that is proclaimed and calls us to proclaim. You see, our conversation with God in prayer is not a one-sided thing. And some people mistakenly think that they can hear God's answers in their head. That's not very reliable. It would always have to be checked with his word to make sure that it's consistent with what he says, or they hear him in their heart. We have a God who has already spoken to us. In fact, to each one of us, he spoke first at our baptism. When he came to us with water in the word, he, in essence, said, "Come alive!" And with that, raised up in us a whole new self that was not there before, one that is made in his image. And with that promise, he also says, not only come alive, but he says, I bind myself to you to be your God and Lord. He spoke that promise to each one of us in our baptism. And then the word that he's given us is a word that continues to give us life and invigorate us and strengthen us in this new life we have. Just a sample of what Scripture reminds us. It makes us wise for salvation. It's wise for our daily rescue and our end goal. Or as Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, we're enlightened as we can, so that you can know the hope to which he has called you, just how rich the glorious inheritance, rich his glorious inheritance among the saints is for us. We might think that that's talking about particularly the inheritance we have when we're waiting in heaven. Don't overlook the fact that it also includes everything that comes with our current status as heirs. That's what his word opens our eyes to see, that wealth. So life's trials and troubles will expose our thoughts and ideas that need to be brought in conformity to Scripture, or lead us to Scripture that we never saw that way before, the things we've missed. As our ascended Lord, of course, he promised us, as we've heard a couple of times, the promised gift of the Holy Spirit who would come, not just on the apostles of that first generation, but throughout the Christian church to the end of the age, the word, the promise that the word, the Spirit would come to teach us and bring recall to his word that he has taught us. And furthermore, he promises as our ascended Lord that he ascended just to give us and pour out gifts on us. Among the gifts that he gives us are those who minister to us with the word, a truth that this congregation is particularly resting on right now as we extend a call for the next pastor, a truth that the church has always relied on for the Lord to provide those to shepherd them. And then, of course, with his word, he sends us to be so well equipped with the word that we're ready to go out and speak it to others. And that's when we discover that as we speak his word to others, the ascended Lord speaks to us through his word and strengthens our own faith and encourages us. We're not just givers, we're also receivers when we share. Right now, with the news that's been in filling the airwaves and our papers, there's been a lot of talk about the impact of mass shootings on not only the children that are immediately affected, but every child that's been through one before. And then there's also been talk about the impact that some happens on some children as they prepare in case of such an event with school drills, how those kids take that idea and begin to be filled with fear. As I was hearing those reports, all I could think about is, what can the parents say who don't know Jesus? The best answer that they seem to be able to give is to comfort the children that there's a very low probability of it happening to you. Wow, what a comfort. Random chance, isolated, probably not. But we who have an ascended Lord can comfort our children, our grandchildren, our neighborhood children, that Jesus is reigning. And he's watching over his children of every age. He will not let anything happen to them ahead of time. If it's his time for them to take them home, he will. And parents can find their hope even in the midst of their sorrow over that wonderful truth, because they were not random victims of some fool. They were still under the care of the ascended Lord. That's why when a Christian comes up to you and going through whatever troubles and says, I don't know how anybody can go through life, especially the challenging times of life, without Jesus, don't just say yes. Ask them to share the reasons they feel that way, and ask them if you can share the reasons you feel that way. And as you do, recognize that almost every single one of them is totally dependent that we have an ascended Lord. Because the fact of the matter is, without Jesus' ascension, life would be nothing but a nightmare. There might be passing times of acceptability, but without Jesus, it will end up in a nightmare. And so we refresh ourselves with these truths and then lead that to let it express itself in continual joy and prayer and praising to our God as we agree that all these things depend upon his ascension. Celebrate together Jesus' ascension. Without it, life is a nightmare, but with it, life is full, real, with real and enduring joy, peace, and hope. Amen. May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, after all, it comes straight from the throne room of God, guard and keep you in your faith now and forever. Amen. Please join and turn to the aisle and face each other as we encourage one another with the truths of our holy faith in the Nicene Creed and kind of pause as we say, ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand, okay? We believe in one God, the Father. Please be seated. Let us pray. Blessed Jesus, you ascended to the right hand of the Father's majesty, glory, power, and glory, and now reign as eternal King of kings and Lord of lords. Ascended prophet, equip your church to proclaim the precious gospel message of God's love for all the world.
Give courage to our hearts, power to our words, and success to our efforts.
O ascended high priest, represent us before the Father as his own dear children and heirs. Defend us against Satan's accusations. Ask for the Father's rich blessings on our everyday lives.
Plead for his mercy.
O ascended King, direct the affairs of government and nations that they may serve the best interest of your church.
You are our Lord, Master, and King.
On this day of the Ascension, O Lord, we thank you for the candidates that were assigned at our seminary today, the vicars who will be going out, having assigned yesterday, to learn the skill and abilities to serve as faithful shepherds. We also ask for your blessing on all those who are deliberating calls, pastors, teachers, staff, ministers, especially Pastor Tim Pataka, considering the call to come to our congregation. Through your mighty work of the Spirit, guide and direct and bless your church, pouring out these blessings on your church as our ascended Lord. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We ask you to also be, O Lord, with the people who are deeply affected by the shootings in Texas. Not the, only the family and relatives, the whole community, but also the whole nation and all those who have been traumatized by such events in the past. As wretched as this is, and as deeply as we feel for them, we pray, O Lord, that you will thwart the work of Satan by bringing your gospel into their lives and enriching them in ways that would not have happened without going through this tragedy. We ask for these blessings, confident that you alone can work such tragedies, such evil, for good. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Hear us, Lord, as we pray in silence. As the disciples lifted their eyes to watch your ascension, so lift up our eyes daily to look for your coming again in glory.
Lord Jesus, come and bring me. Amen.
We continue with the sacrament.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is truly good and right that we should, and at all times and in all places, give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who by his willing sacrifice on the cross took away the sins of the world, and by his glorious resurrection restored everlasting life. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. We give thanks to you, O God, through your dear Son, Jesus Christ, to whom you sent to be our Savior, our Redeemer, and the messenger of your grace. Through him, you made all things. In him, you are well pleased. He is the incarnate Word, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. To fulfill your promises, he stretched out his hands on the cross and released from eternal death all who believe in you. As we remember Jesus' death and resurrection, we thank you that you have gathered us together to receive your Son's body and blood. Send us your Spirit, unite us as one. Strengthen our faith so that we may praise you in your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we glorify and honor you, O God the Father, with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for the forgiveness of your sins. May our Lord Jesus Christ, who descended on high and was brought to you into the His kingdom through the water of holy baptism, God, and keep you according to your baptismal promise. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for the full forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for your sins. With this gift of his blood, he personally seals to you the new covenant of promise, the forgiveness of sins, new life and salvation, a promise which he backs up by his ascension into heaven. May this very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve the holy Christian faith to life everlasting. Heart and peace, to love and serve in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and eat the very body of our Lord. Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for forgiveness of your sins. May this very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the holy Christian faith that the life everlasting. Depart in peace, love and serve. Please rise. The Lord bless you and keep you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His mercy endures forever.
Whenever I eat this bread and drink this cup,
we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us this saving gift. We pray that through it you would strengthen us in our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Our closing hymn as we close the celebration of the Festival of Ascension, "On Christ's Ascension I Now Build." For those who are using the old hymnal at home, hymn 173. How good it is to gather with you like this in a special service in the middle of the week, a great festival, indeed worthy of our worship and praise. You may remember years ago, we'd always put it on a Sunday so that everybody would get the benefit of it. So talk it up with the other people that weren't here today and encourage them to go online and look at and watch the service and see the significance of Jesus' ascension for their own comfort and hope. Maybe review it yourself, too. It's truly an amazing event that so much depends upon. May the Lord send you out with the confidence that he's reigning, watching over so many promises that he's keeping because he ascended on high to be our Savior. Look forward to greeting you at the door.